Well, this morning we continue our Fix Your Eyes on Jesus series from the book of Hebrews. And our sermon this morning is entitled, Do Not Neglect Such a Great Salvation. So to help you learn some Ukrainian, there you are. So feel free to learn what that says and pronounce it perfectly. Anyway, the opening chapter of Hebrews established the vast superiority of Jesus. Jesus was appointed heir of all things. Through him, it was where the world was created. He is the radiance of the glory of God. He is identical in his very being. He upholds the universe by his powerful word, and he forgives us of our sins. All this before taking his place at the right hand of God. And in doing so, he became more superior than the angels because of his name. And the book of Hebrews is written to encourage and to warn in equal measure. After declaring the superiority of Jesus, we now reach the first warning here. A warning we'll come to in a minute after I've shared a story with you. Sorry, Dad. When I was growing up, I once travelled down the Caledonian Canal. As a family, we booked a week on the water in our own pleasure cruiser. Sorry, Mum, I should say, maybe as well. Anyway, for the majority of the time, it was a pleasure, except for one day. I can remember the day with mixed emotions. Let me recall. As we were travelling through Loch Ness, I think I was 12, 13 maybe. I was given the honour of steering. My father gave me controls of the boat. Sadly, given the vast size of Loch Ness, there was not very much steering to do. So, I leant back in my chair and I placed my feet on the steering wheel. We travelled, I bet, no further than 100 yards before I was bellowed at. Benjamin, take your feet off now. You must steer the boat properly or don't steer it at all. He continued, you must pay attention and not be so irresponsible. Well, with the dulcet tones of my father ringing in my ears, I handed him control. What was the point? Who wants to steer a boat when there's actually no steering to be done? Anyway, as we headed up north, up the canal, with my dad now back at the helm, I couldn't help but notice from my viewpoint out the front that we were starting to drift across to the side. The reason behind why we were drifting towards the bank? Well, whilst my father was steering the boat, he was also reading the newspaper. But at the same time that he was reading the newspaper, he wasn't really, he was sleeping behind it. Before I had the chance to warn him, the boat scraped along the bank. My father awoke from his slumber. The noise was deafening. He did very quickly redirect us, but the damage had already been done. And as the situation calmed itself and normality resumed, I couldn't help myself as I smugly took the one chance presented to me. Dad, I boldly said, I now know why you always must pay attention. And paying attention is the central command in our passage. If we fail to pay close attention, then the end result could be life-ending. Now, I'm not sure my life was in danger out on the boat, but I tell you, the noise as this thing careered down the bank and the look of shock on his face will forever be etched in my memory. Fondly, though, because it's a great story I can retell. Anyway, look at Hebrews 2, verses 1 to 4. They read, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard it. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Jesus was more superior than the angels because of his name. Therefore, the message that Jesus delivers is far more superior. And because it's more superior, we need to pay more careful attention. In the past, God has used prophets and angels in different ways, but now God has spoken to us by his Son. And we're called to hear him. We're to listen to the Lord and give attention to his word. But why must we pay more careful attention? Why must we listen? Well, in the time that we've got remaining, I want to present three reasons from the passage this morning. Because firstly, we tend to drift away. Look there at verse 1 again. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. If we do not pay more careful attention to the salvation message, then we're going to drift away and we're going to miss out. Drifting happens when we neglect the great salvation we have. Life is probably more like a river than a lake. It's not really possible for us to sit still. It's not possible to sit still or remain floating in the same place. You're either moving towards Jesus or you're moving away from Jesus. There is no other option. There is no middle ground. Those who fail to pay close attention to the message of Jesus drift away. And this might be hard to hear, but it's true. We rarely want to admit it, but there's a part of each of us that tends to be drawn to other things. Things that we may place above Jesus, either intentionally or perhaps subconsciously. Many things can lead us to drift. It could be suffering which derails us. It could be opposition which makes us want to give up. It could be holding on to sin instead of repenting before God. It might be money, material things, which could cause us to deviate. Now, there are lots of things, big and small, which draw us away from God. So it's so important that this warning sinks into our hearts, because without careful attention, our spiritual condition will deteriorate. Have you ever noticed that in your life? We must listen to what Jesus is saying to us and pay careful attention. For the record, and to be clear, someone who is truly saved, a true Christian, cannot lose their salvation despite them having periods of disobedience or backsliding. Yet, we're given this warning also to encourage us. We're given this warning to make us examine ourselves clearly. Because there's a danger that we may think we are true believers. But in actual fact, the reality is we never really knew God. And that is proved in our distancing from Jesus. We don't know him. So this is the first reason why we must pay more careful attention. The second reason is because God holds people accountable. Look there at verses 2 and then the first part of verse 3. For if the message spoken by angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? God holds us accountable for our response to his message. Notice that the message declared by the angels proved to be reliable. And this message spoken by the angels describes the Mosaic law. It was delivered in some way to Moses through the hands of the angels. Galatians 3 verse 19, Acts 7 verse 53 teach us that the angels delivered the law. And the writer also tells us that the message the angels spoke was binding. The Mosaic law proved to be reliable. Look again there at verse 2. Every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. Now, throughout the Old Testament, it makes us think about the seriousness of obedience. This message spoken by God, delivered by angels, and revealed through Moses was to be taken very seriously. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, they all emphasize this. Exodus, it highlights the need to do everything according to the law. Leviticus, it drives home the message about the holiness of God. People were to be holy because God is holy. Numbers shows a generation of people not entering the promised land. This generation missed out because of their disobedience to the law. Therefore, the Mosaic law given at Mount Sinai proved to be reliable. And the giving of this law at Mount Sinai was glorious on so many levels. It was glorious because God said in Exodus 19 that he was coming down to reveal himself to the people. And he revealed himself in such a glorious way that the people were terrified. They could not handle the sound or the smoke or the shaking mountain. But God also revealed his glory in another way at that mountain. Moses desired to see God's glory, and God did reveal his glory. Exodus 34, verses 6 to 7, read, The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for their sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. So what happened on Mount Sinai was glorious. God revealed himself and met with the people in a glorious way that struck fear into the hearts of those people. Now look at the warning at the beginning of verse 3. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? The salvation message declared through Jesus was vastly superior, far more superior than the message given by the angels through Moses. We need to pay real close attention to this great salvation. Now, what exactly is this great salvation the author is referring to here? Well, this great salvation was revealed to us through Jesus Christ. He revealed it through his disciples, through his prophets, through the Holy Spirit. It's God's redemption plan for the lost. It's his amazing saving grace. It's a message that we simply can't ignore or neglect. We need to focus on the revealed message of God. But what do we do instead of focusing on this salvation we have in Jesus? Well, the translation here in the NIV says that we ignore such a great salvation. Again, the ESV, the translation is stronger. It says we neglect this message. We neglect what the powerful Lord Jesus has done for us. We forget that God is working for us. We simply neglect all of it. We reject the Lord in our hearts. We'd rather do something else and desire other things than have a zeal and intensity for Jesus. How crazy is it that material things are more important to us? Sitting on the couch watching senseless television takes priority. What about playing games on our devices or watching or reading social media? What about checking the statuses of people online and what they've been up to? Or shouting at a football match on the telly? Being entertained appears to be more important than our salvation. We'd rather enjoy this life rather than enjoy a life with Jesus. The word great is all too often bandied around in our everyday society. It's used all too often. And with things that are anything but great. I'm not sure I'd ever put Manchester United and great in the same sentence. Neither would I put any of our current politicians in that bracket. Most television programs and some songs are good, but I wouldn't call them great. Sadly, when we consider something to be great, we pay attention to it. And if we don't consider it great, we'll either ignore it or neglect it. If it's not great, then we'll leave it to convenience rather than commitment. But what we see at the beginning of verse 3 is something great. The phrase, such a great salvation, is a striking reminder. It's an incredible, striking reminder of what God has provided in Christ. It's a great salvation because we are saved by our great Saviour, Jesus Christ. We are saved at a great cost, his death on the cross. We're saved from a great penalty. He took our sins away. Sadly, many reject their salvation because they never see it as salvation. They see it as receiving something, not as being rescued from something. Michael J. Kruger quotes, "The message that we must not declare is the great salvation of Jesus Christ. We can escape the justice of God by embracing Jesus, who offered himself as the solution to our problem of sin. He has made a way of escape for us. We must pay attention to the message of Jesus because it provides the way out from God's judgment. God holds people accountable, so pay more careful attention to the message. As well as drifting away and as well as God holding people accountable, there's a third reason in our passage why we should pay attention. And that one is that the salvation message is clear and true. Look there at the remainder of verse 3 and into verse 4. This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." The salvation message was announced clearly and truthfully. It was a message of salvation that was announced by the Lord himself. The message came from Jesus, the Son of God, not angels and not Moses. Because it came from Jesus, we do not need to worry about any distortion in this message. Besides, the message was also confirmed to those who had heard it. There's a reference there to the apostles, the eyewitnesses of Jesus. They witnessed Jesus' teaching, Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection. It's not something that the author just made up. They were eyewitnesses whom he knew and had heard from. This message was also confirmed by God testifying to the message. There, look, verse 4, he testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles. And the message of this great message of salvation was authenticated by some amazing miracles. Miracles which Jesus himself performed, capped off by his resurrection. Finally, we know the message is true because of the gifts the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Again, Michael J. Kruger quotes once more, "God has gifted each and every Christian in some way that allows us to bless the body of Christ and the world around us." One of the things that reassures us most in our faith is when we see the Spirit at work in people around us. It gives us a confidence that the gospel message is true. I don't know about you, but I'd agree with that. We need to pay attention to this message because it is clear and true. It's trustworthy and reliable, far too good to ignore. It's not just salvation. It's a great salvation, and salvation which the world has been waiting for. It's a great salvation because its origin is in Christ. It's a message which comes from the Lord and is God's final word. It reveals the character and nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's great because God testified to the message by miracles. Our salvation is too magnificent and amazing to neglect or ignore. So the author's purpose is to show that we need to pay attention. We need to pay more careful attention to the message of Jesus Christ. If we don't, then we can drift away. God holds people accountable. You don't want to face judgment, but you do want to face Jesus. There's punishment for ignoring or neglecting the message. A message which is clear and true, which was declared by Jesus. A message, a salvation message, which is glorious and too wonderful to ignore. So as we draw to a close this morning, what can we take away? What do we need to do so that we do not neglect the great salvation? Let's just consolidate what I hope we've already learned this morning. People spend their lives searching for that life-changing experience. They spend their time looking for the power to change their situation. God offers this life-changing experience, yet people don't explore it. They reject what is in the Bible and they neglect the salvation on offer. Folks, the gospel must be taken seriously. Fact. We can't afford to ignore what we've heard. We can't afford to drift away. We can't afford to take our hands off the wheel. We must not deviate off course. We can't allow ourselves to fall asleep, because if we do, disaster will strike. Every day we should remember the great salvation which is on offer. Every day we should organize our thoughts around the gospel message. We need to look at our sinfulness and God's holiness. We must see and recognize the power of the cross. And we should also realize the mercy and the love of God displayed there. We need to ground ourselves in our identity as God's adopted children. The message of Jesus is life-changing. Holiness is found in this message. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What we are failing to see is that we are neglecting our greatest joy. We are missing where joy truly belongs. Joy in life truly belongs in Christ. Neglecting the message of Jesus is going to bring about a punishment. Why? Well, because it's the final message of God delivered through the Son. It is Jesus who presents this great salvation. This is his message. How could we neglect it? It's just too glorious and too important to ignore. And if we do ignore it, then we're not going to escape punishment. God holds people accountable. He holds them accountable for their response to it. In life, there are two ways to live. With Jesus, without him. There'll be judgment, and then there's a great salvation. We'll either neglect this great salvation and face judgment, or we'll pay attention and accept this great salvation and enjoy eternity. So we must pay more careful attention to this salvation message of Jesus. By doing so, we'll see that it is great and therefore not worthy of neglecting. Life on earth is something temporary. Life with Jesus is always everlasting. Don't neglect something truly wonderful for something truly temporal. Don't neglect this great salvation. It is more desirable than anything else in life. Have you come to know it? Have you experienced this great salvation? Have you enjoyed the salvation message declared by the Lord Jesus himself? If not, why not? What are you waiting for? Don't delay and hurry today, because the Lord is our salvation. Amen.